This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Where we're still in a series of grace, amen? I think I could preach on grace all year long. And I'm telling you, if you have the grace of God in your life, and if you have more, somebody say more grace. And the more grace you have, I'm going to say it this way, the easier your life becomes. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The more grace that you walk in, the easier your life becomes. In other words, maybe you've been battling some things in your life, maybe some bad habits, some issues, maybe some sickness, maybe a little bit of poverty. With more grace, God can help you overcome those things. Do you believe that today? So we're talking about grace, and it's the power of God to work in our lives to accomplish amazing things. Amen? And so we're looking at really the early church. And I believe that the early church walked in the power of God, and they did. They saw the miracles of God. And I believe that we can start seeing miracles of God if we start believing. Somebody say, I'm going to start believing. Somebody might be saying, I'm already believing, Pastor. Amen. And so you got to start and continue to believe. Amen. And believing is faith. It's believing that God can do the impossible no matter what it looks like. Always believe even to the very end. Never give up. Always keep fighting. The good fight of faith, no matter what you are encountering in your life. Say I'm a fighter. And grace will help you be a fighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Say I'm a faith fighter. There you go. I'm raising up faith fighters in Exceed Life Church. Amen. I'm not raising up wimps or weaklings. You guys are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Glory to God. And you might say, well, you don't know. I got some areas in my life. Amen. We don't focus on the areas in our life that we might look like that we're losing in. No, you're winning. You may not be winning exactly the way you want to win right now, but you're in a process of winning. Say amen on that. Say I'm in the process of winning. So now look at Acts, because this is powerful. And this is our main scripture right here. Now the multitude of those who believed, one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. I love that. And notice this that's connected here, that great grace and great power comes about witnessing about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have a witness of Jesus in your life, I don't know if you're going to have a lot of grace in your life. I'm going somewhere this morning. If you don't have a witness of Jesus in your life, in other words, if Jesus is not, you know, a part of your life like every day, then I don't know how much grace you're walking in. So it says here that they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this to you this morning, that you need to start giving witness to the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said before, Jesus looked like a loser on Friday. He was being crucified. He looked like a loser to the world. But on Sunday, he became the victor. Glory. He walked out of that tomb. Amen. On Sunday. So it doesn't matter. You might be encountering some circumstances. You might be encountering some setbacks. When you get a setback, step back and get ready for your comeback. Amen. Can I say that again? When you get a setback, step back and get ready for your comeback. Amen. Because God's preparing us for a comeback. You believe that today? Amen. And this is interesting. It says great grace was upon not just only the apostles, but was upon them all. Now, I don't know about you, but I want a lot of grace working in my life. I want God's grace working in my life. And here's a picture of God's grace. You ready for a picture of God's grace? In Proverbs 19:12, it says, "The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." Think about that. His favor. So another word for grace is favor. In Proverbs 16:15, it says, "In the light of the king's face is life, and in his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain." So we see here, this is a picture of God's grace. His grace is like a cloud ready to rain showers on a crop. His grace is like the dew that's on the grass when you wake up in the morning. So this is the thing. How sometimes the dew on the grass is heavy and sometimes it's light. But see, God wants the dew of his anointing, I'm going somewhere this morning, to be heavy on each one of us. Somebody say, I have the grace of God in my life. So again, another word for grace is favor. And we discovered and we found out that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was highly favored of God. And I want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to be highly favored of God. And I believe that we can move into a place where Mary was. She was highly favored in God. And what was one of the reasons why? Well, she believed the angel Gabriel. She believed and she doubted not. So if you're going to see high grace in your life, you have to have childlike faith. You have to believe that when you see a promise of the Word of God speaking to you when you're reading it, you got to say yes and amen, that is mine. Amen. You got to claim the promise as a personal promise. Am I going somewhere this morning? For yourself. That promise isn't just for your, you know, the early church. It's not just for the people in the Bible. The promises are for you and for me. Amen. And you need to start claiming some promises. Amen. Say, I'm claiming some promises. So God always produces grace through our believing when we don't doubt. I like what it says in 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, "I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So we see here, for giving God praise without doubt or without being angry. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes we encounter circumstances in our life that will cause us to doubt God and will cause us to get angry. Sometimes things will happen in our life that we don't understand why they happen. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes we encounter setbacks even though we don't understand why they're coming into our lives. Sometimes we see things, shortfalls, even though we don't understand why they're happening. But even though we may encounter some troubles like Jesus said, in this life, you will have some troubles. So he actually told us we're going to have some troubles. Don't be surprised when you encounter issues. I'll give you an example. The other day, I was driving my car, and I was doing a delivery for Amazon, and my light came on that my tire was low in air. And, you know, that's always a red flag when you're driving around the city trying to deliver some packages and you're driving 20 to 30 miles in a day or in a 2-hour run. And so I'm like, okay, what do I do, Lord? I started praying. What do I do, Lord? And I said, I believe, you know, because I had my tire, you know, was affected just 6 weeks ago. And it had low air. And I kind of panicked and went straight to the place. But what I did was I had wisdom. I said, well, I'm going to continue to do my job, and then go to the to Discount Tire, which I'm putting a plug in for them because they're amazing. If you ever get a flat tire, they will repair your tire free of charge. If you ever get a nail in your tire, if they can repair it, you can take it to them, and they will repair it free of charge. That's amazing. I called around one day, found that out, got my tire repaired, and they said it was free. Now they have my business. Amen. And so I took my car over there and found out that tire had a nail in a place that the tire had to be replaced. And thank God I have warranties on my tire. And so they replaced my tire, and it cost me $15. Come on. Can somebody say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? And God gave me wisdom. I was able to use the other car to do another delivery that I had scheduled at the time that they were doing my car. And they took care of it for $15. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the grace of God will lead you and guide you, show you what you need to do when trials and tribulation. Now, I know it wasn't a bad trial, but when things come our way that tries to mess up our life or our schedule, God can lead us and guide us into all truth. He can give us wisdom in what we need to do. And everything worked out perfectly. I used the Toyota, and that Toyota is a beast. Yin we've been driving that Toyota. Yin's been driving it since 1998. It's almost an antique. Amen. That car's over 200,000 miles and still going strong. Glory to God. And so, what am I talking about? I'm talking about that grace. God wants to grace us, but we gotta seek Him for the grace to come into our lives. And so we don't want to get doubt in our life. We don't want to get angry. Amen. We want to replace doubt and anger with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Because the enemy will try to get us angry at our circumstances, at the situations. But don't let anger be a part of your life. Don't let the enemy keep you angry. Amen. Don't be an angry Christian. Be a rejoicing Christian. I like what it says in Psalms 97:12, because there's people that's going through tough times and they get angry in the tough times. They get mad. Sometimes they get mad at God. What, Pastor? You mean you can get mad at God? You better believe it. People can get angry with God. Why? Because they have this theology that God's doing everything. That God's controlling everything. God's not controlling everything. God gives us the power to control some things. The Bible actually says that there's a place in Proverbs that shows you how you can extend your life and how you can shorten your life. The Bible says if you honor your mother and father, you will live a long life. Well, that will extend your life. Amen? So what if you do the opposite? It could shorten your life. So things that we do can enhance God's grace in our life or can decrease God's grace in life. You believe that today? And I love this because we want to replace anger and doubt with praising and thanksgiving. And I like what it says in Psalms 97:12. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." I love that. I like what it says in Thessalonians. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So here he's saying, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That means in the good times and the bad times, we give thanks. Why do we give thanks? We don't give thanks for the trial, but we give thanks for God helping us through the trial. Amen. That's what we give thanks for. Again, and grace of God is brought about by us believing God. Thanksgiving is a form of us believing God. So grace comes about in our life by us believing God. No matter what is happening in our lives, God's grace is sufficient in no matter what state that we find ourselves in. How do we invoke the grace of God in our lives? Amen. Through difficult seasons in our lives, we keep our minds on the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to say this. Difficult seasons will come. We will encounter difficult situations. But I'm going to say this. When we encounter them, you need to keep your mind on God. I love it what it says in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. See, what the enemy's trying to do in these last days, he's trying to rock our world. The devil wants to rock your faith. The devil wants to get you nervous. The devil wants to get you doubting. The devil wants to get you angry at circumstances. He's trying to rock your faith. He's trying to get you unsteady. He's trying to get you, you know, get you a little nervous about your life. Don't get nervous about your life. Put your mind on God, and the Bible says, trust God. Amen. When you're going through a trial in your life, sometimes you might have to say, I trust you, God, no matter what. I trust you, God, no matter what. Sometimes you might have to say it out loud. Say it out loud. I trust you, God, no matter what. You got to trust him. And that's the key. What's the enemy trying to rock? He's trying to rock our trust. He's trying to get us unsteady. But if you keep your mind on God, God will keep you at perfect peace. And when you're walking in perfect peace, the devil has no handles to control you. Amen. It's only when we get out of peace, the devil will start trying to control us. Don't be controlled by fear. Be led by peace. Amen? So I love that. Let's look at this scripture that can maintain the grace of God in our life. It's in Hebrews 4:16. And it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that. Notice God wants us coming to him boldly. You could say that God wants us coming to him confidently. So why does he want us seeking him? Because he wants to grant us mercy in time of our need. Notice the scripture says, come boldly to what kind of throne? What kind of throne does God have? He has the throne of grace. My topic is grace. God's throne is a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of misery. It's not a throne of hurt. It's a throne of grace. God always is ready to dispatch his grace and his mercy to those that come to him. God's grace is your help in time of need. I love that. So his grace works greater when we have a need. Can I say that again? His grace works greater when we have a need. That means that God's power can work in us when we have a need and we're calling on him. I like what it says in Psalms 118. This is powerful. It says, I call on the Lord in distress. Has anybody out here ever been distressed? Has anybody out here have been a little nervous? Has anybody out here has been kind of wavering in their faith? Well, he said, the psalmist says, call on the Lord. Call on him in your distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I'm going to say this to you this morning. God is on your side no matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if the devil's against you. It doesn't matter if the world's against you. What matters is God is for you. Amen. And if God be before you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Amen. Somebody say, God's on my side. You got to believe that. You got to believe. When you got Jesus in your equation, God got on your side. That's powerful this morning. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see the desire of those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, it's great that you have faith in Pastor David. It's great that you might have faith in your spouse, but you really need to put greater faith in Jesus. Because I, as a pastor, I'm just a natural man anointed by the Holy Spirit to try to do the job the best way I can, but I don't do it perfectly all the time, and I can come short at times, but Jesus never comes short. Your spouse may be great, and they may walk on water, but they come short every once in a while of God's grace. Amen. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in princesses or your boss or that likes you at work. Put your trust in God. Amen. Somebody say, I trust God. Because even your boss that likes you, he may like you today, but may not like you tomorrow. But as long as God likes you, as long as God likes you, the Bible says that as long as your ways pleases God, he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. Say, I'm endeavoring to please God. So we may be going through a difficult time in our life, struggling in our faith, but God's grace has the ability to turn our situation around as long as we don't give up hope. And we keep believing. God's grace specializes on people that have needs and problems. I think about Abraham. And he wasn't always a faith man. I'm going to say that again. I know this is hard to believe. Abraham is called the father of our faith. The Bible declares Abraham the father of our faith. But he hasn't always been a father of faith. Abraham wavered at times in his faith. And I'm going to say this, if Abraham can waver, so can we. If Abraham can waver in his faith, so can we at times. But he grew in faith and became the father of many nations. And I'm going to say this to you today, you can grow in your faith through the grace of God. You can grow and be better. You can grow better in God. God told Abraham that he was going to have many descendants. He was, you know, his situation was impossible. He was old. His wife was old. They were barren, never had a child together. And then God spoke to him and said that you're going to have descendants, told him to look at the stars and gave him vision, glory to God. Then Abraham said, how do I know that you're going to do this? And God cut a covenant with Abraham, a blood covenant with animals. And God walked through that covenant himself like a smoking flask and a flame of fire, the Bible says. And God cut covenant basically with Abraham, but God cut covenant with himself in a way, saying that he will never break his covenant with Abraham. That's powerful. Somebody say, I have a covenant with God that cannot be broken. That's powerful today. And then God also, God gave him, you know, the stars to look at. God gave him a blood covenant to stand on. And then God changed Abraham's name. His name was Abram when God met him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Amen? So we see here, and Abraham means father of many nations or father of multitudes. And so what God was doing was he was getting a vision in Abraham that he was going to be a great father, glory to God. If we're going to see God's grace to overcome, we must get a bigger vision of where we're going and not where we are at this moment. If we're going to see an overcoming grace in our life, we must get a bigger vision. God has greater things for you in the future, and you must believe that. Job wrote this, and Job penned this when he was going through his trial. You know, Job went through a trial, and he was going through a trial that looked like he wasn't going to make it through. But Job made it through his trial. Job made it through, got healed, and got double for his trouble. But when you're in the middle of the trial, It's hard to think you're going to make it through the trial. I'm going to say it again. When you're in the middle of your trial, it's hard to believe at times you're going to make it through your trial. Amen? But in Job's trial, Job wrote this, Job 8:7, through your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. You see, your beginning might be small. This church may not look like to the average person. I think this is a great church, but they could say, well, you don't have a lot of numbers. You don't have to have a lot of numbers to be great in God. Amen. You just have to have heart. Amen. See, if you have a great heart, then you will, it doesn't matter about the numbers, and the numbers will come, glory to God. But you got to have a great heart and be obedient to following God's will no matter what it looks like. Gideon had 300 whittled down, thousands of people down to 300 people to win the war. And you don't have to have a lot. All you need is one, Jesus. That's all I need is Jesus. And I can make it. Amen? And so we see here that overcoming grace comes through a vision. And this vision that Job had, he said, even though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. In this scripture right here, the NIV says, your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous your future will be. It doesn't matter how it starts in your life. What matters is how does it end. You may not be where you want to be at right now, but it's not over yet. Amen. There's still time. There is still time for God to move and do something incredible in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, it's still time. Amen. To see God's grace, you must believe that He's positioning you for greater. So the number one key, amen, that we got to see the grace of God in our life is we got to get a bigger vision of our future. Number two, if we're going to see God's grace in our life, the overcoming grace in our life, we must understand what the blood covenant is all about. What Jesus has done to save our lives and put us in a place of grace. Amen? God made a blood covenant with Abraham. And I love this. It says in Psalms 89:34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. When God makes a promise, He doesn't go back on it. When God says in His word, He's good to His word. See, Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that He would lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said it, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken it, and will He not make it good? God will make His word good in your life as long as you keep standing on it. Somebody say, I'm standing on the word. So God is true to His word no matter what, because He's covenant to His word. You see, the covenant that God made with Abraham was with sacrifice animals. In Hebrews 6:13-15, it says this, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because He swore by no one greater, He swore by Himself. That's powerful. That's powerful. Man can fail, but God can never fail. So what did God do? He made a covenant with Abraham, but not only did He include Abraham in the covenant, He made that covenant with Himself, that God cannot fail Himself. And it says, surely swear by no one greater. He swore by Himself, talking about God. Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So after He had patiently endured, He obtained the promise. So we see here the covenant is not about curse. It's about blessing. Think about this. We're covenant with God, and that covenant is for God to bless us. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. It's a covenant of blessing. It's not a covenant of woes and pain. We're in this life. We may encounter some of those things, but God doesn't intend us to suffer these things. He intends us to walk victorious over those things. So it's a covenant of grace. It's not a covenant of pain. Some people say, well, I'm serving God and I got a cross to bear. Amen. You know, Jesus bore that cross. Amen. If you got a cross, it's a padded cross with wheels on it. Amen. It's an easy cross to bear. That's what I'm saying. It has wheels on it. It's padded. It's not going to give you splinters. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we see here that the promise was made to Abraham to bless him and to multiply him. I'm going to say this to you this morning, that the promise of God is for you to bless you and to multiply you. God's promise and his covenant is to bless you. You got to believe that. Some people preach, well, not everybody's supposed to be blessed. Some people are called to be poor and in poverty. I don't believe that message. I don't receive that message. I receive the covenant of grace for myself. I'm not going to believe a doubting, unbelieving message that tells me I can't have anything in God. I'm not going to go anywhere in God. And I'm going to barely make it in God. That's not my message today. I'm preaching a message of faith and hope and victory. Amen. Glory to God. Can you say amen? You're saying amen already. Amen. So God, through his covenant, had made Abraham a covenant, a blessing and increase. We Christians also have a blood covenant and blessing as made with the blood of Jesus. So we can believe God and his grace on our lives to overcome, because we have a better covenant based on better promises because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, I have a better covenant. So you have a better covenant than Abraham. Woo! That's good news this morning. You got a great covenant. I like what it says in Hebrews 9, 11, 12. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come. Notice that Christ came for good things to come. That underline that. Somebody say, good things to come. See, we serve a positive God. This is the gospel is called good news. And good news is God has blessings and increase for each one of us. Say yes and amen. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come. I love that. With greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, nor with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Glory to God. So we have grace today because Jesus poured out his blood at the cross, presented it to the Father at the throne of grace. And by that throne of grace, there was a mercy seat. And at that mercy seat, the blood of Jesus is sitting on us, crying out mercy for each one of us. God's blood grants us boldness to obtain mercy, to receive help in time of need. Can I get a witness? I'm getting excited about my message this morning. So somebody say, the blood of Jesus is working for me. The blood of Jesus is working. That's powerful. That's powerful. Amen. If we're going to see God's greater grace in being an overcomer in this life, we have to get a name change. You got to get a name change. You can't identify with your old life before you were saved. You don't identify with your old. You have to identify with the new. Amen. Say, I'm identifying with the new. So God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And that name changed the way Abraham saw himself. When you get a name change, it changes the way you see yourself. When Simon said to Jesus, you are the Son of God, you are the risen Savior. When Simon got that revelation that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus says, Peter, I call you a rock. Jesus changed Peter's name or Simon's name to Peter. Peter means somebody that's wishy. Simon means wishy-washy. But Peter means rock. You might be wishy-washy in your faith today, but I'm going to declare to you that you're becoming a rock.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You might be wishy-washy in your... In other words, you might be in and out, but you're becoming a rock in Jesus. And so we see here that Abraham's name was changed to Abram's name was changed to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. And Jesus gives each one of us a new name as we get saved. And that name is Christian. You are a Christian. I like to, when I'm ministering and witnessing to people, I ask you, are you a Christian? You know? And what is a Christian? It's a Christ. You know, the derivative of the word from Christian is Christ. Christian. Amen? Can I hyphenate it? Christian. And what does the word Christ means? Anointed. So if you're a Christian, you are an anointed one. Oh my gosh. If you are saved, bought with the blood of Jesus, you are anointed. Somebody say, I'm anointed.
Amen.
Amen. God anointed the Old Testament kings with oil. We know that David got anointed with oil by the prophet. And he was anointed to be a king. But that anointing didn't just make him a king. It made him a warrior. God's anointing will not only make you a king in this life, but it will make you a warrior. Because, see, David said to King Saul when he was about ready to battle Goliath, he said, I took out the lion, I took out the bear, and I will take out this uncircumcised Philistine. Now, it was the grace of God, the anointing of God, when he was anointed by the king. I don't have a timeline when he knocked out the bear and the lion. But I could submit to you that it may have been after he was anointed by the prophets. And then once he was anointed, he was unstoppable. And I'm going to say this, once you realize that you're anointed of God, you will become unstoppable.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? Somebody say, I'm becoming unstoppable. Somebody stop me. You know, hey, are you hear what I'm saying today? And nobody can stop you but yourself. That was from the movie The Mask. But anyway, glory to God, I like to... Amen. We'll continue. Amen. That was just a flesh moment. Let's continue. God anoints. Amen. What God anoints, he appoints. Can I say that again? What God anoints, he appoints. And God is anointing you to walk as a warrior. In Psalms 18:29, I love this because you have a warrior spirit. Somebody say, I have a warrior spirit. And you're not wimps. I'm not looking at wimps. I'm not looking at people that are yeller. You know, they say, yeller. What's yeller? Somebody has yeller up their belly and down their back. They run, you know. But I'm telling you, you start wearing the American flag shirt, those colors will never run. Amen. But look, it says in Psalms 18:29, for by you I can run against a troop. Look at this. By the anointing of God, I can run against a troop. But by my God, I can leap over a wall. That's powerful. So the anointing can cause you to run against a troop. That means you can be outnumbered, and no matter if the odds are against you, the anointing will cause you to overcome every odd that's against you. You can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Then in verse 32, it says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like a feet of a deer. He sets me on high places. He teaches my hand to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Yet you have also given me the shield of your salvation. In your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged the path under me, so my feet did not slip. Think about that. This is what the anointing and the grace of God can do. It can strengthen you. It can make your ways perfect. It can make your feet like a feet of a deer, which means that you can climb any mountain with ease. It can make you and teach you to handle warfare when the devil attacks your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? When you receive Jesus in your life, you have changed, and now you're going from being conquered to being a conqueror. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Yes, people believe that when we get saved, we're just saved sinners. With that kind of thinking, that's going to make you sin. Amen? I'm just a saved sinner, so that's what I'm supposed to do is sin, right? People that talk that way will always be defeated. Amen? Apostle Paul teaches us that we're not saved sinners, but that we are saved saints. See, you're either a saint or a sinner. You can't be both at the same time. And so I love what it says in three epistles. Paul says it this way, because I'm trying to get you to understand that when you change your name, you'll walk in the victory of God. And Apostle Paul said this to the Ephesians at the very beginning of his letter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul called the Ephesian church saints and not sinners. Then in Philippians, Paul and Timothy, bondservant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints who are in Christ Jesus in Philippi. So Paul called all the people in Philippi, in the Philippian church, saints. Then in Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So do you see a pattern here? Do you see that Paul got a revelation that we're not old sinners saved by grace, but we're the saints of God, blood washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? You got to get a revelation that you're not some old sinner saved by grace, but you're the saint of God bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that. And see, so when you identify with your new nature, you will act like your new nature. I'm going to say that again. When you identify with your new nature, I'm not some sinner saved by grace. I'm a saved saint in glory to God. You've got to get a revelation of that. And so being a saint doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you do everything perfect. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. If you sin, you confess your faults before God, and He will cleanse you from all righteousness. You walk in a repentant attitude every day of your life. And when you walk in a repentant attitude every day of your life, checking yourself before you wreck yourself, you'll see the grace of God in your life. Amen? No matter what is going on in your life. See, God's grace turns you from being a victim to being a victor. Just because you might be encountering some things, the devil will want to tell you, you're a victim. But I'm saying to you today, you're a victor. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 15:57 says it this way, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the bad times, yes. In the good times, yes. God always gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to identify and we have to have a victor mentality. Amen? We have to identify with our new life in Christ. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Then it says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Then in verse 21, for he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you study these verses out, and you study out your new nature in Christ, you'll find out that you're, number one, a new creation in Christ. Number two, you're an ambassador of God. And number three, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you start identifying with these truths, you're going to walk in abundant grace, and you're going to be able to live the life that God called you to live. Amen? To sum it up, if you're going to see overcoming grace in your life, you number one, you got to get a vision for your life. The Bible says a man without a vision will perish. You got to get a God vision. In other words, you got to pray and ask God to give you vision for your life, for your marriage, for your occupation. Get a vision. Everybody needs a dream. And you run on vision. When you're running your life on vision, you're running your life on the grace of God. Number two, if you're going to get abounding grace in your life, overcoming grace in your life, you must understand the power of the blood covenant. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the mercy and the grace of God. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus." Number three, if we're going to walk in greater grace, we must receive a name change in our life. You go from sinner to saint. You go from victim to victor. You go from weak to strong. You go from powerless to powerful. That's what the grace of God does in our lives. And when you start believing these truths, you will see the grace of God working in your life. You will have that overcoming grace. I'm going to close this message out with a grace scripture that reveals that we're overcomers in Christ. No matter what season that we're dealing with in our life, no matter what we're struggling with or encountering, God's word can help us overcome that. In Romans 8:35-39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation, you're experiencing a season in your life where things aren't going well, focus on Romans 8:35. Focus on the love of God. Focus on God's love will bring you in to a broad place, will bring you in to a good place. I'm going to say this, that your circumstance and situation is subject to change, and it's subject to change for the better. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're helping us to have overcoming grace. And we believe, Father God, as we adhere to your word, as we meditate on your word, as we seek you in prayer, we will have that overcoming grace in our lives. And perhaps you're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, or those watching online or listening, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, today is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance, so I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to come in your heart. Just pray this simple prayer after me and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.